Welcome to the Rising Tide Leadership Podcast, where each week we simplify the complexities of your leadership journey.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Rising Tide Leadership Podcast, where we aim to give you critical and easily applicable leadership concepts to help you along your journey. I'm your co-host, Scott, and I have the privilege of talking about life and leadership with the owner and founder of Rising Tide Leadership, Dr. Michael David Morales, a.k.a. Mo.
Hey, what's going on, Scotty? I am excited, like always, to dive into today's topic. So let's talk about leadership.
Yeah, absolutely. Always an exciting time. So in 2015, not too long ago, this thing called the Marvel Universe brought us Avengers Age of Ultron. So the second film in the franchise, or I should say not in the franchise, but in the Avengers series. In this film, Earth's mightiest heroes band together to fight against Ultron, which is a man-made artificial intelligence that has taken on a human life form. Before this film, Ultron only existed as an idea sitting in the mind of Tony Stark, which most of us know as Iron Man. But after the events of the first Avengers movie, Stark wants to actually create something that could be available to defend the Earth against another kind of large unforeseen threat like they've faced before. Well, like most movies, right, like it ends up going off the rails and Ultron actually ends up being the villain of the film. So plot twist and or I should say spoiler alert, but it's been out for a while, so hopefully everybody has seen it. And it was a mega film, so a blockbuster. But he ends up becoming the villain instead of the hero that everybody thought. And just definitely was not a protector of Earth like Stark had hoped for. But before Ultron is created, kind of at the beginning of the film, Stark attempts to share this kind of vision for what Ultron could be. His vision resonates with a few people, or I should say a few of the other Avengers, but is completely lost on others. And rather than take the time to adequately explain the vision, maybe put it in a different way or a different context to those that don't understand, he just kind of writes them off. And by not taking the time to explain that to the others, he really misses out on an opportunity on just for more support, really, for the vision of Ultron, also misses out on potential critiques of that vision that at the end of the day probably could have saved countless human lives. So literally, not just figuratively. But it's said that without vision, so if we're thinking about vision, that people perish. And in the context of leadership, this means without a clear direction, teams can become disoriented, unsure, and in all honesty, anxious. Today, I know that we're going to unpack why a clear vision is so vital to leading people. So Mo, why don't you get us going here?
Yeah, I love that beginning. All those movies are great, right? And so just like you said, Scott, a clear vision does more than just set the destination. It inspires, it motivates, it provides a sense of purpose that is really essential for any team success. So let's talk about three crucial points on how leaders can effectively craft and communicate this vision to their teams. And so we start out with point one today, which is leaders articulate the vision clearly and passionately. And so, Scott, first off, a vision really needs to be articulated clearly and with passion. It's not just about what the goals are, but why they matter, because people need to know the why, right? We talk about that a lot. Leaders need to communicate in a way that resonates with their team, making the vision as vivid as possible. So this means using language that's inspiring, that's relatable, ensuring that every team member can see how their work contributes to the bigger picture.
I love that, Mo, and making it relatable usually means that people can connect with it more on a personal level, like they're a little bit more invested, right?
Yeah, it really does. It's about making the vision feel tangible. People need to be able to feel it. And so these individuals will end up understanding their roles and ultimately they'll achieve the goals that are set before them.
Yeah. So something that kind of came to my mind is I often when I'm explaining something or articulating something, I often put it in a way that makes sense to me. And I know that that's not necessarily always it doesn't always mean, I should say, that others can understand what my madness is trying to explain. So how can our leaders ensure that it makes sense, not only to them, but also to everybody on their team?
Yeah, that's a great question, because everybody really does need to be able to catch on to the same vision. So here's three quick things that you can use as a formula. If you ever get stuck, and here it is. First of all, you have to embrace simplicity. See, leaders need to articulate their ideas in the simplest terms possible because it's about boiling down complex concepts into their essence. So imagine explaining your idea to someone completely outside of your field. How would they understand it? And that's the level of clarity that you should aim for. Or in the swim world, when I teach other coaches, what I'll always say is when you're explaining something to your swimmers, can it be explained to an eight-year-old? Because if you can't explain something to an eight-year-old swimmer, then you're making it too complex. So, you know, make it simpler. And so everybody can gain clarity from simplicity. Secondly, you got to engage in active listening because communication is a two-way street. After sharing an idea, a good leader listens, right? And really, when they listen, they get the team's feedback. And so this isn't about hearing words. It's about understanding emotions and the thoughts behind them. It's about asking this question. Does this make sense to you? How do you see it fitting into your work? And thirdly, Scott, we need to adapt to our audience, which means every team member has a unique background, learning style, perspective. And so if we all learn differently and hear things differently, then we need to know that some people may be visual learners. Other people grasp their concepts through stories, and leaders should always be flexible in communication, the different methods. They have to tailor their message to suit the audience's preference.
Yeah, that's great. So simplicity, engaging in that active listening, and then adapting that to your audience. So, man, great. So go ahead and take us into that second point of today.
Yeah, the second point is this. Leaders will align the vision with team values and goals. And so the vision should be in harmony with the team's values and goals. Again, we talk about goals a lot. We talk about values. We talk about the vision. And you need to create a cohesive environment where the vision isn't just a directive, but it's really a shared goal between everybody because everybody's invested in it. So leaders need to engage their teams in discussions about vision. They need to incorporate feedback. They need to make adjustments. And they need to make sure that they reflect the collective aspirations and the values that are set up by the group.
So in reality, it's really about building that vision together and fostering that sense of ownership among the other team members.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. And so when people feel that they have a stake in the vision, then their commitment level rises and their motivation really, Scott, it skyrockets.
Yeah. So I know sometimes we can really start off, if we're talking about kind of vision and we talk about those types of things, we can start off so excited for a vision. Like it's brand new, we're amped, we want to get behind it, and we're ready to go with any of the goals that kind of come along with it. But I also know that enthusiasm and that motivation can often wane, especially in this day and age. So how would you say that our leaders can stay motivated and motivate others to stay on track with that vision and then its kind of concurrent goals as they move forward?
Yeah. So let me give you a story, right? So a lot of us know in the tech world, SpaceX, right? And so when you think of SpaceX, yep, you think about the leadership of Elon Musk. And so Elon aimed to make space travel more affordable. And ultimately, he wants to colonize Mars, right? And so, like, we all think that's crazy. But all of a sudden, now it's, like, not just Elon. It's everybody's getting on this bandwagon because they're like, whoa, we can really do that. Now, why can they do that? Because Elon gave a vision that was audacious. And all of a sudden, enthusiasm, you know, skyrockets, you know, no pun intended, right? And so now we're all on this grand endeavor. There's not just his company, but other companies that want to go into space. And they want to do crazy things like colonize Mars. So, of course, when Elon started, when he was the first one, there were setbacks. Remember, rockets exploded, deadlines were missed, financial strains were intense, everything was messed up. But Elon had the vision.
Yeah, that's a lot of strain. I mean, I think, you know, oftentimes maybe when our leaders think about, man, what's straining them, it's like, well, I got stuck in traffic that I didn't expect to, or my stapler is out of staples, or, you know, those types of things. We don't often think, you know, hey, that strain in my workplace is a rocket exploded. So that's a lot. So then how did Elon Musk really kind of keep his team motivated and really just stay on track with that vision despite such of those setbacks?
Yeah. So you got to think about this. Elon did three things, right? And I mean, among other things, right? The guy's a genius, but I want to take three things that he really kind of focused on. So first, transparency and honesty about the challenges that he had. He just put it right out there. He didn't shy away from the fact that the road was going to be hard, that there was going to be failure. He knew failure was not just a possibility, but a probability. And so this honesty created a culture of resilience and opened up communication with everybody that was on board with SpaceX. Secondly, he celebrated the small wins, right? Even when a big goal seemed far off, and every successful test, every improvement, every design, everything that Elon did, he celebrated, still celebrates those little wins today. And people like that. It helped keep the team focused on the progress and not just the end goal. Because when you're taking on, the bigger the endeavor, Scott, the more you're going to fail. And even though your people are excited, they're going to get discouraged, and you need to keep them thinking forward. And that's why you got to celebrate the little wins. And thirdly, what Elon did is he reminded everyone about the ultimate mission. You see, for SpaceX, it wasn't about launching rockets, right? It was about making humanity, just multi-planetary, really, to go to Mars. And keeping this audacious goal in front helped the team to see beyond the immediate setbacks.
Hmm. I really loved what you said there, along with that kind of second point there, that, you know, the bigger the goal or the bigger the task, sometimes the larger the fails can be. And so I think that's a good reminder to putting those things in perspective. So if we think about these three lessons that you just kind of went over, so how can we kind of apply those lessons to our own leadership?
Yeah, so let's take all three of those, right? So let's start with the first one. And if we use these three principles, it's going to align others to our vision. So back to the first one, right, is be transparent. You need to share your vision with your team, including the potential roadblocks. Don't hide those from people. Let them know what you're thinking and think, man, these are things that could go wrong, because then people, when you hit those roadblocks, people are going to say, oh, that's right, we've talked about these. And Scott, what that's going to do, it's going to build trust and prepare your team for the mental challenges ahead. Secondly, celebrating small wins, right? I talked about Elon celebrating the small wins. As a leader, you need to become fixated on not just the big wins, but the small wins, because getting stuck on the big goal is really easy to do, but acknowledging and celebrating the progress that's made along the way can boost morale and keep everybody motivated and moving forward. And third, remember, we need to keep the mission front and center. We have to regularly remind our teams of the bigger picture. We talk about the bigger picture all the time. If you don't know what the big picture is, read John Maxwell's 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, right? Shocker, right, Scott? And just go straight to that chapter. You've probably already read it before. If you're one of my the people that I coach or mentor or do anything with me, I've told you to read 21 Laws of Leadership. And so just go to that chapter, the law of the big picture. And so the question is, why are you doing what you're doing? What impact is it going to have for your small piece of life and the larger context of the world? And this is going to help you reignite the passion over and over again and keep the commitment in front of you, because, Scott, things are going to get tough. Life is going to get tough. It's not always going to be exciting. You need to be able to get through the grind. And that's why you have to keep the mission front and center. So those are the three principles.
Yeah, that's great. And I feel like that third principle kind of leads us into that third point a little bit, keep the vision at the forefront. So Mo, why don't you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So Scott, when we're talking about point three, right, you just mentioned keep the vision at the forefront. We need to know that it's not a one and done deal ever. Leaders have to constantly and consistently remind their teams of the vision, celebrate the progress towards it, and you need to recalibrate when necessary, right? Mike Tyson says everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face. Whatever you're doing in life out there, leaders, you are going to get punched in the face. And this can be, Scott, just through regular meetings, updates, casual conversations. That's when you keep the vision in the forefront, because your people are working hard. And a lot of times as leaders, we see people and we think, man, they're not working hard, but trust me, they're working harder than you think. You're just focused on the vision. It's got this happens to me all the time as a futuristic. Futuristic's my number one strength in the Gallup StrengthsFinder. Out of all 34, futuristic's number one. That's great until it makes me get way out in front of people. And then it starts frustrating people because they're like, Mo's not seeing the small things that we're doing. It's my job as a leader to keep the vision at the forefront. The idea, Scott, is to make the vision a living and breathing aspect of the everyday work life.
Yeah, 100%. And for those of our listeners that maybe aren't those futuristic thinkers, that's me. I want to say that's like 31 on my Gallup Strengths 34, but that's why you have futuristic thinkers in your inner circle and on your bus. So
that's right.
But to kind of, if I'm understanding you correctly, Mo, what you're talking about kind of at that, with that, the first part of that first point is rather than this kind of big grandiose type reminder about the vision, it's more to just include it in your daily conversation so that it just stays relevant and kind of more so at the, to use the third point, at the forefront or at the top of everybody's mind, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. And so it helps them maintain the momentum. And like I said, challenges are going to arise. And so a clear vision provides the resilience that your team is going to need to push through those obstacles. And so we can see this in our top leaders in the business world today. In fact, if you want another book on your reading list, put Andy Stanley's Making Vision Stick as a valuable resource and another arrow in your quiver. And of course, Scott, it's on Mo's top 50. And so one of the key examples that Absolutely. Andy Stanley emphasizes in that book is involves the necessity of repetition in communication. Andy Stanley says that vision should be communicated so frequently that leaders feel like they are a broken record. And he points out that just when you start to get tired of saying it, people begin to grasp that. And so put this into context. Imagine a leader who introduces a new vision or strategy in a single meeting, and he expects it immediately to take hold throughout the entire organization, right? Wrong. According to Stanley, this approach is very unlikely to be effective. Instead, what Andy says is he advocates for the vision to be reiterated across a various spectrum of platforms and mediums, things like team meetings, emails, newsletters, one-on-one conversations. The idea has to weave the vision into the fabric of the organization's communication so that it remains at the top of the mind of every person on the team. Moreover, Andy Stanley highlights the importance of making the vision stick, as he calls it, by not only repeating it, but also, Scott, here's the most important thing, demonstrating its relevance to the daily work of each team member, meaning working alongside your people. So this means connecting the dots between the work that the individuals on your team do and the broader vision of the entire organization. So, for instance, if the vision is to provide great customer service, leaders should regularly highlight instances of employees delivering on this vision. And so when they do this, it's going to make a connection between the vision and the day-to-day operations. So Andy Stanley's advice centers on relentless communication of the vision, making it a constant presence to the organization and all the dialogue, and make sure that the vision sticks with the team members, guiding them, Scott, and actions towards the collective goal of the organization.
So then, Mo, if our listeners are in a position of leading up then, so what would be some of the practical ways that they can kind of help keep that vision at the forefront for those above them?
Yeah, so imagine, for instance, that you're a mid-level manager somewhere in your company, right? And so if the CEO, the boss, is passionate, they want your team to innovate and take the vision and move it all the way down into the rest of the company. So if that's what you have to do from your position, wherever you're somewhere on that spectrum. So if you've got a boss, if you've got a supervisor, then you are given a mandate and then you have to take it from there. And so I would say, again, we would do three things even in this instance. And first one, Scott, and most importantly, you have to understand the vision yourself, right? Before you can convince anybody of anything, you need to be a believer. Dive deep into what's behind the company's goals from higher than you. That helps you grasp it. What problems are you trying to solve? What are the steps that lead you to our closer solution? If you understand at a greater depth, it's going to fuel you and your conviction, and it's going to equip you to articulate that vision compellingly to your team. Secondly, communicate effectively and communicate often. Because just like Andy Stanley says, communication is the key to any relationship. The professional one, of course, is no exception. Find opportunities to remind your superiors, your bosses, that you know what the vision is, and you do this in your regular reports, your meetings, your casual conversations. Use real life examples, come alongside your team. Let them know that you have the vision at the forefront of your mind. And just know that if you continue to do that, it's going to help you understand what that vision is. And third, Scott, you want to be the bridge. I love this one right here. See, that there's often a disconnect between the upper echelons and the ground floor of any organization, right? So you have to use your unique position to bridge that gap. Share feedback from your team and customers that reinforce the vision. Show how the day-to-day work contributes to the bigger goal. And so, Scott, if I can give one more, I'm going to give a fourth one, right? This is the free chicken today. All right, so I was going to give three. Here's a fourth one, though. Lead by example, right? Action speaks louder than words. Show your commitment to the vision with your work ethic, your projects, your interactions with people, your subordinates, your superiors. Let everybody know that you have an unwavering dedication to the vision and to the company's core values and goals.
Mm. All just incredibly valuable insights today. Mm. So before we kind of head off here, do you have any final thoughts for us?
Yeah, I do. So just really simply, leaders, you have to remember to create a vision that's going to sustain. And the way that you do that, the way that you that create that clear vision is make sure that you understand the vision. You have to understand the vision, right? I've said before, and I'll say it again. If it's a miss in the pulpit, it is a fog in the pew. Meaning if you think you are making sense and it kind of doesn't make sense to you, whoever you're talking to, that they're not going to get it, right? And remember, aligning your vision to the people on your team, I mean, and helping them understand those values and those goals, you can't get away from that, leaders. And remember, that third point also is you always have to keep the vision at the forefront. One of my mentors told me, Mo, if you want to do something, you need to figure out what the goal is. You need to write it down, put it in front of you. And every day you need to get up and do something that's going to get you closer to that goal. If not, then you need to reevaluate your priorities, because whatever goal's in front of you, obviously you're not working towards it. So something's wrong. So Scott, if we do these things, if we create a clear vision, our people are going to get excited. And trust me, leaders, they're going to jump on board and they're going to follow you wherever you go.
That's some great final thoughts for us today. So we hope that today's episode inspired all of you to refine or maybe even redefine your vision. Remember that a rising tide lifts all boats. By cultivating a clear and compelling vision, you're not just leading, you're elevating everybody around you. Thanks all for tuning in to the Rising Tide Leadership Podcast. Join us next time for more insights on becoming the leader who makes a difference. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. We'll see you all next time.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Rising Tide Leadership Podcast. Highlights and resource links are available for you in the show notes. We hope that you will join us next time as we continue on the leadership journey. Don't forget to like and subscribe so you don't miss out, and share with others so they don't miss out. See you next time.